morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprang up and bore again, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowners came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you're gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up. But gather the wheat into my barn.' He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.' He spoke another parable to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the multitude and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered and said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?' They said to him, 'Yes.' And he said to them, 'Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We just ask that you will come and speak to us. And we give you this time. And we love you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Jesus here is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And we really see Jesus as the teacher. We've seen Jesus as the healer, the miracle worker. But here, starting from chapter 13, we really see Jesus as the teacher, really teaching with authority, right? One of the things that people notice about Jesus was that he didn't just memorize and recite what the teachers had taught him. He started teaching new things, and he started teaching with authority, right? So Jesus is teaching and giving us information, basically, about the kingdom of heaven and what it's going to be like. And so he started off from the beginning, but here he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, comparing it to tares and wheat. All right, and this one's good because after giving the parable, he actually gives us the explanation. Right? Those are my favorite kinds of parables, when Jesus explains what it means. So he explains that the Son of Man sows the good seed, which is the wheat, and they represent the sons of the kingdom, and also the enemy comes and sows the bad seed, which represent the sons of the evil one. And basically the point of this parable, it's a clear teaching from Jesus that there will be judgment at the end of this age, right? When this life as we know it is over, there will be judgment. You know, a lot of people debate about why there is the judgment. And people debate about, you know, does that mean we only have one chance on this life? When we get to heaven, is there going to be no more chance? You know, are we going to be given a chance to, you know, submit to Jesus Christ? Or is this it? You know, and they debate about the why, and they try to think about, you know, is it fair? And why did God do this? All that stuff. Jesus here doesn't really give the answer to the why question, right? Jesus is not saying, well, this is why there is judgment, but he kind of tells us as it is, and he tells us that there will be judgment when this is all over. And Jesus is very clear, right, in his teachings about the kingdom of heaven, that at the end of the age, when this age as we know it is over, there is going to be judgment, and people that were righteous will enter into heaven, and people that were not righteous will be going to hell. And he also teaches us through this parable that evil will be around until the very end. The very end of the age, there will be good people, right? People, the sons of the kingdom, and there will be the sons of the evil one that do the works of the evil one, you know, that obey the desires of the evil one, right? There's two kinds of things going on until the end of the age. And again, he doesn't really explain why he lets it happen like this. He doesn't explain why there's going to be evil and good together until the end of the age. But he kind of tells us as it is. He says, until the end of the age, the evil one will be with us, amongst us in this world. And at the end of the age, he will gather up the evil one that are stumbling blocks, right? Those who commit lawlessness. And then, verse 43, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So, he doesn't explain why there's evil in this world, but it tells us that there will be evil, right? So, there you go. You know, when you're thinking about, oh, how come there's evil in this world, he doesn't really give us an explanation, but it tells us that there will be evil in the world. So we should expect, you know, that there will be people that oppose us. There will be people that give us trouble and give us a hard time because these sons of the evil one will be here on this earth. And also, we need to remember that in the end, the sons of the evil one will be judged, right? And there will be justice. I've heard it taught that God will judge everything that hinders love, right? And because there are people, and we wonder, and we ask God, you know, how come these evil things exist? And we ask, you know, where is the justice of God? And you know, it's so unfair and all that stuff. But at the end of the age, we can rest assured that God's going to bring his justice. And everyone that stood against the love of God, everyone that stood against the things that God wanted, will be judged, right? So, yeah, we can trust that God will bring his justice to earth. And everyone and everything that hindered God's love from being known and from God's love being established here on this earth will be judged by God. And yeah, it says they will be cast into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? So Jesus explains that there will be judgment. And then he goes into verse 31 where he talks about the mustard seed. I'm sure everyone of us have heard this parable, right? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. A mustard seed in that time was the smallest seed known to man. And Jesus says when you sow the mustard seed, it grows and it becomes larger than garden plants. It becomes a huge tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Did you know, have you ever seen a mustard seed tree? Think about it. Have you seen a mustard tree? No, because mustard, they don't grow in trees. If you sow a mustard seed, it becomes a plant. It becomes kind of a large, shrubby plant that comes up to about here. It doesn't become a tree. I thought it was so interesting. When I went to Israel and our guide was driving us around, he's like, oh, that's mustard, mustard plant. And we were like, but it says a tree. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what Jesus is saying, you know? Because mustard doesn't come in trees. So what is Jesus saying in this parable? I had to really think about it. I'm still kind of thinking about it. You know, but you sow a mustard seed, and when you sow it, that which you sowed becomes something, like it transforms itself, basically, you know? And I'm sure you've heard many interpretations of this parable of the kingdom of heaven is like something very small, but it becomes very big, you know, by the power of God. And, you know, and also the very next parable about leaven, how you hide the leaven and it's small thing, but it leavens the whole bread and it becomes a big thing. How the kingdom of heaven starts very small, but it becomes a big thing, you know, through the power of God and all that stuff. There's that explanation. If you read through, you know, some commentaries and study Bibles, it talks about, yeah, the kingdom of heaven is something very small, but it becomes big, you know, through the power of God, and it grows into something very huge. But there's the other interpretation of this parable that when in verse 32, it talks about the birds of the air coming and nesting in its branches. In the parable before this one, this parable of the sower, the birds of the air actually represent the evil one, right? The bird of the air is actually talking about demonic beings that take away what was sowed in the heart of a person. So some people have taken this parable to mean that the kingdom of heaven, it grows, the church basically grows, but within the church and within this thing that's growing on this earth, there will be evil amongst it. You know, that the birds of the air will come and nest in its branches, and there will also be the evil one kind of here in this world as we are kind of doing the work of God. And same thing with leaven. You guys know leaven usually, when Jesus is teaching, leaven represented something evil. You know, he says, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? So in this parable where it talks about the woman hiding the leaven, again, the kingdom of heaven is something good, but there will be evil amongst the kingdom of heaven, basically here on this earth as the amongst the church. So you need to study on your own, because I'm still struggling to figure out which one is the right one. But my interpretation would be the second, my take on it would be kind of the second interpretation, you know, because I think it kind of goes along with the whole tare and wheat parable, that there is the wheat, the sons of the kingdom, but there's also tares, the sons of the evil one. And it's the same kind of thing. In the kingdom of heaven, it's going to grow big, but within that big tree that it becomes, there will be the evil one amongst it, and the leaven that gets hidden, the evil one, the evil that gets hidden amongst the kingdom of heaven. And I think Jesus is just kind of teaching about that, you know, that there will not only just be the good, but there will be the evil in this world, and we're going to have to deal with it, and we're going to have to fight it and survive it kind of thing in the kingdom of heaven as we live on this earth. And verse 34 through 35, it says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Where it says in verse 35, what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. It says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Whenever there's a quotation from the Old Testament in the New Testament, you should look it up. Find out where it comes from, right? Because it's just interesting. It gives us more information about what God is saying. That one, I will open my mouth in parables. That saying comes from Psalms 78, verse 2. And it's by a teacher. It's a psalm of Asaph. And he is one of the worshipers during the reign of King David. And he is basically teaching or saying this, reciting this psalm. And I just think it's interesting because if you read the psalm, it is clearly Asaph who is saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. But the gospel writer, Matthew, looks at that psalm and makes the connection that that psalm is actually talking about Jesus, that it's a prophetic saying about what Jesus is going to do. And he links that psalm, which is clearly what Asaph said, I will declare things of old. You know, I'm going to teach in parables. But he makes that link between that and what Jesus did and links the two. And I just think it's so interesting that that the writer of the gospel does it. You know, in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus says he went from Moses and all throughout the prophets, and he pointed to the disciples all the things that were talking about himself. You know, it says, start beginning with Moses and the rest of the prophets, all the Old Testament, Jesus went through and showed the disciples what the Old Testament was saying about himself, right? And you know, the Old Testament, it's all inspired by God. God breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, when we read the Old Testament, we should look for references to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the, you know, in Acts, when Stephen makes a defense for himself and Stephen talks about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, he looks at Moses. And he compares how Moses, the way he lived his life, is kind of a parallel to how Jesus was. You know, he says, Moses was born and he did this and this and this, and Jesus did this and this and this. And he kind of makes the link between Moses and Jesus and how Moses is kind of a type of Christ. You know, it kind of foretells of Jesus Christ. And so if you read the Old Testament like that, I think it's going to be so interesting. And I'm trying to do that. You know, when I read the Old Testament, I find something, I'm like, oh, maybe this is talking about Jesus. You know, I mean, there's so much in the Old Testament that kind of points to Jesus Christ. And I'm still just learning to read the Old Testament like that. But I think it'll come alive even more if we really understood that the Old Testament is God-inspired. And when people wrote it, when Asaph wrote it, I'm sure he didn't think about Jesus Christ, who was going to be teaching in parables. He said, I will teach in parables. But the Holy Spirit had inspired Asaph to write it, and that was going to be a prophetic kind of foretelling of what Jesus was going to do. And so if you read the Old Testament with that in mind, how God had inspired these writers to write about Jesus without even them knowing, it's kind of cool to begin to see these things, you know, in the Old Testament. And then Jesus explains the tares, and then the hidden treasure, the costly pearl. I believe it's talking about sacrifice, you know. They find something so precious, and they're willing to give up all that they have so that they might gain it. The kingdom of heaven is something like that. We're willing to sacrifice everything that we have so that we can gain the most important thing. And then he talks about the dragnet. The kingdom of heaven compares it to the fisherman bringing out the fish, taking out the good and the bad. Again, it's the whole thing about judgment, right? Jesus is talking about how at the end of the age, there will be a judgment, and God will judge, basically, those that are righteous and those that are unrighteous. Okay, so today, for our application, I wanted us to meditate upon Jesus being our teacher. You know, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he taught things with authority. He taught new things that people had no idea about. And I believe he wants to do that to us, you know, as we just wait upon him and as we meditate upon him. Jesus wants to be our teacher. You know, it says in verse 35, right? I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that? That God will bring to our understanding, things that were hidden since the foundation of the world. These are great mysteries that God was on God's mind, and he has made it available for us to understand, right? If we are willing to seek him, and if we're willing to ask him and seek out, you know, the mysteries of God, then we will know and understand things hidden since the foundation of the world. And lastly, I just wanted to kind of encourage us and challenge us to read our scriptures, you know, read the Bible, you know, because that's where the hidden mysteries will be found. That's how Jesus will teach us, You know, so let's read the scripture and find out, or just learn from Jesus, you know, the things that is hidden. And yeah, I just want to encourage us. You know, how much is up to you, right? It's don't feel guilty, like, oh, I didn't read enough Bible or whatever. But, you know, whatever is on your heart, I just want to encourage us, you know, we should read our scriptures and really try to gain understanding from God. So Samantha is going to come and lead us in worship.
Follow hard after you. your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. So lead me on and I will run after you.
Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our members. And let's just pray that God will strengthen those of us that are going through a hard time. And let's just cover our church. Let's, if you know of anyone that's going through a tough time, let's just bring them up. Let's remember them before the Lord and stand in the gap for them and stand with them in prayer. And if you could cover the pastoral staff, Pastor Samson is away in the States with his family. Pastor Salamat is also in Bangkok this week, holiday with his family and children. And if you could lift up Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and Kenny, Monica, Samantha, and myself, we're all working for the church now. So if you can just cover us. So this pastoral staff and also just anyone at church, you know, that you know are going through a hard time, let's just cover it and lift up our church members together. Let's pray for the welcoming ministry. Let's pray that God would really strengthen our welcoming team, that God would bring people into the welcoming team, that God would really have put His anointing upon them so that they will be able to really make people feel welcome and loved when they enter into SP, and that God will give them joy, supernatural joy, to be able to minister to the new people. And even the old people that walk into our church, that our welcoming ministry will be able to really just bring joy into their heart. And Soyeon and Sujin, I think, are the leaders of this ministry, right? So let's pray for them, that God would really strengthen them and guide them. So let's pray for our welcoming ministry together. And also the greet and eat people, let's lift them up as well. Let's also pray for our building search. Let's ask that God would come and provide us for us the funding that we need, and that through this whole time our church will be able to run hard after God and really seek His face. And let's pray for the building search committee, the fundraising committee, and let's just cover this whole thing. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are our teacher. And I pray that you would really show us new things, God, and things that we didn't see before. You know, as we read our scriptures, that you will bring those things to mind and highlight those things, God. And Holy Spirit, God, I pray that really the scriptures will come alive to us, Lord, that we will be able to really understand what you are saying to us, God, that it will really speak to us and give life to us, Lord. So we thank you for that, Lord, today. And I just pray your blessing over everyone here, God. I pray that you will go with them, go before them, and give them your guidance and your protection, Lord, and your favor in all that they do. And may we live to really glorify you today. Help us to remember you in all that we do today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.